Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to a time of reflection with New Destiny Ministries, where we are empowering souls for destiny. Our founding host is Evangelist Adrian Bernard, and I am your co-host today, Sister Ruby Larry. A time of reflection is a radio broadcast that will encourage, enrich, enhance, enlighten, and empower listeners to trust God in every area of their lives, naturally and spiritually, and to pursue their God-given destiny without apologies. We are mandated to teach and preach the gospel of Jesus Christ as we stand firmly upon our foundational scripture, are built upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone. I read that out of the King James Version, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 20. We air daily Monday through Friday at 1 p.m. Pacific time. Our Saturday segment airs 5 a.m. Pacific time with Minister Billy Burns and early Sunday morning prayers, a corporate prayer that everybody the Lord lead to call in to join the prayer is at 7 a.m. Pacific time, our California time. Tune in expecting to hear and receive fresh oil from God Almighty. The call-in number is 858-683-1334, and it's for all segments. Please email us at newdestinyministries54@gmail.com. or mail any prayer request or praise report you would like us to share on the broadcast to New Destiny Ministries, P.O. Box 5702, Stockton, California, 95205. Also, we invite you to like our New Destiny Ministry page on Facebook and on Twitter at New Destiny 54, and you can listen online like I'm talking now, also at www.newdestinyministries.com to hear our archive messages. And we just thank Jesus Christ for allowing us to be on this broadcast today. And we appreciate and are thankful for y'all tremendous support of the godly men and women that willingly share the anointed, powerful word with each of you and us that call in and those that visit this broadcast by internet or in the chat room. Don't sign off because God has a rhema word just for you. And we're so excited. You know, what is the day? Today is Friday, and it's Provoke Friday, but Pastor Hamilton and his fiance have opened up another ministry, and the ministry is now Christian Fellowship Ministry, and they're out of Houston, Texas. And Pastor Hamilton is always excited about coming on with his the family of the Lord. So with no further ado, I'm going to let Pastor Hamilton go forth, and I'm going to put on the song with Pastor Hamilton sang. Pastor E is holy.
Hallelujah, Lord Jesus. Lord, we thank you for another day just to recognize that you're holy, you're worthy, you're faithful. We can do all things with you and nothing without you.
Holy, Lord, you're holy. Holy, Lord, you are holy. What a privilege at your throne, to be called into your presence at your own. Worthy, Lord, you are worthy.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Worthy, Lord, you are worthy. And it's my honor to worship at your throne.
to pray. Just lift your hands and worship him. This is what I tell you. I can search the heaven high. I can search the earth below, but there's no one, no one, no one. There is no one, no one. I can search the heaven high. I can search the earth below, but there's no one, no one, no one. Right now, let's just get out of ourselves, family. Let's just get into the presence of God and allow him to just shower us with his anointing. Let's step out of ourselves. Let's get out of our circumstances. Let's get out of the things that cause us so many distractions and just get in his presence right now. Let's, you know, we could search the heavens high. You can search the earth below. And there is no one like Jesus. We can worship TV and we can worship cars and houses, but those things give no fruit to the spirit. They only fill the flesh. Let's get out of those things that give us the joy of our flesh. Let's get out of the things that take us away from the presence of God. And let's just bask in his presence. Let's enter into his courts with a thankful heart. Let's come before him with nothing but an atmosphere of praise. Let's walk in the anointing so we take the anointing with us when we join in with him in worship. Worship. Exonerating him and him alone. Showing him extravagant respect. Giving him all the honor, all the praise. And when we do the all for him, that means we exclude everything. This is worship. Worship is one-on-one. Worship is allowing yourself to bow down, submit, to the decrease of yourself, and see the witness of the Holy Spirit rise and give us the answers to the questions. Give us the directions to the roadmap. Give us the next play in the game. Put us in the position of excellence because we honor him so much in worship. We take for granted so much, so many times that we could just do it without the solitude of being with him. Yes, we could be in a mindful state to worship him at all times, but God calls us to some solitude. He wants to see us in a place with no distractions. where we can worship him in spirit and in truth. Oh, just lift your hands and worship him right now. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, glory to his name. And if you don't have something to worship before, here I have 10 things that you can borrow. Give of yourself today to show him through sacrifice that we are willing to do more, that we're willing to give more, that we want more of us to be accountable. We want more of us to be moving without being told to move. We want more of us to follow his instructions. It's in the worship family. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I just worship you, Lord. I worship you. Oh, thank you, Lord. Thank you for continually holding me accountable, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for giving me instructions to follow. I worship you for that right now, Lord. Lord, I'd even worship you for the tribulations that I go through. Because you give me the strength. You give me the protection through the worship. I worship you right now, Lord. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. But nothing before you, Lord. I just worship you. I glorify you, Lord Jesus, because you're worthy. All by yourself, Lord. I don't need help from me. I need you, Jesus. I just need more of you. Less of me, more of you. Less of me, more of you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, the presence of God is always in this place. But are we always in this place? Let's get in the place. Let's meet him on his territory. Let's worship him without distraction. Let's worship him without care and worry or reward. Let's just worship him just because of all the things he's already done, all the touchstones, all the remembering of his goodness, all the healing, all the deliverance, all the saving. Let's just worship him for that right now. That's enough just to give him all the praise, all the glory. All the dead that have been risen, that have risen from the dead, and so that's enough to praise him right there. All the spirits that have been cast out and bound under our foot, that's enough to worship right there. Because we have the power, we have the authority. We can worship him right now just for the acts of the apostles and the example that they gave us on how to go and duplicate the process of making disciples. That's enough to worship him right there. And in the worship, we forget about everything. We get out of the way. We allow God to be God all by himself. And we do what we're told to do by following his instructions. So I just worship you for more instructions right now, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. We thank you, Lord, that your word abounds. We thank you today that your word corrects. We thank you today. We worship you today that your word anoints. But, Lord, we just magnify you and worship you right now that your word reveals the truth on how to be successful in the walk of Christ. So we thank you for that today. We decrease self. Lord, we die. Lord, we give to you. We allow everything to be taken away that is not in line with your will. Right now, in the name of Jesus, we give you all the honor for what you're about to do. We give you all the praise for what you've already done. And we glorify you, Lord, for the word that you're about to expound, the lesson that you give us to walk by. When? Right now, in the name of Jesus. Continue to bless New Destiny Ministries. Every ministry connected to New Destiny is under this prayer. We say New Destiny, but I mean now, I mean the liberal Democrat, I mean everyone that is connected is under the umbrella of New Destiny. So this prayer goes out to everyone. Lord, continue to bless our family. Continue to open up our eyes and give us the revelation knowledge to see the mysteries, to comprehend your word. Lord, anoint every man and woman of God that is connected to this ministry. Grow their ministry. Prosper their finances. Put their lives in line with you as you would have it to be from heaven to earth, because it's already done. Lord, we pray this prayer that it goes under the authority that not our will be done, but your will be done. We say yes to your will, yes to your way, and most definitely yes to your word. Have your way today, Jesus. We thank you, we praise you, and magnify you. And all in agreement said, amen, amen, amen. Well, good afternoon, family. It's another Provoked Friday. I'm excited, as always, to just be connected and joined with like-minded believers. When the word says something, we confirm that that is the truth. That when the word is spoken, we line up and we change our circumstances. That's family. When things are going right, we depend on one another. When things are going good, we bless one another. When they're middle to middle, we depend and we rely and we confide in one another. That's family. So I pray for us today, family, that as we go forth and as we continue to get molded through the Acts of the Apostles, that we see this lesson is just for a time as this. The new church that he's building in you, the new church that he's building in us, the new church that he's building in them, the new church must be built on the foundation of where it started, with the Acts of the Apostles. So we thank him today that we can go deeper. Say, go deeper. That we can reach farther. Say, farther. And we can do it right now. Say, now. Don't be scared. Just by you saying now, yes, it will. It will put you in the realm of having to do something weird right now. But don't be afraid. He's waiting for us to step into the now. Right with. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Well, today we're on chapter 19. And 19 has a lot of nuggets in it. We are going to enjoy this chapter here. And we're going to let God have his way. Amen. Lord, reveal your word to us today, Lord. Make it plain, make it simple, make it clear. Give us the revelation knowledge to develop principles that will guide us in the walk, in the talk, and in the going of, and making of disciples. We thank you today. It is done, finished, and complete. In Jesus' name, right now, amen. Verse 1, and it happened while Apollos was at Corinth that Paul, having passed through the upper regions, came into Ephesus. And finding some disciples, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what then were you baptized? So they answered, it was John's baptism. See, first of all, Paul is returning back to Ephesus. And then when he arrives, he runs into all kinds. I mean, he's known now. You know, he's returning back to where he came. He planted the church there. And when he returned, there's dozens of followers of Jesus who didn't even know that there was a Holy Spirit. See, Jesus had saved people before the Holy Spirit was delivered. And that, well, let's go back to just, if you don't mind, if we could just go to Mark 16. And you don't have to go. I have it. You can just let me read to you today. But if you remember, Mark 16 is when now he returned and he left them with the comforter of the Holy Spirit. But before that, there had been a lot of conversions of Gentiles. Remember when they sent out the 72 by 2? The Holy Spirit hadn't been brought to the surface yet. That wasn't a part of the principle yet. So these believers that Paul encountered had been saved by Jesus. They didn't even have any knowledge of the Holy Spirit. Paul then, you know, helps them to understand that then baptizes them in the name of Jesus. So they had went through the water baptism. And what this is telling us is that even though there's some people out there that have been saved, we may have to go back out, family, and do some recommitment. We may have to make some old phone calls. Now, this word is for us when? Right now. So we want to look at the example that came from Paul, but we want to now transform that when? Right now into something that we could go forth with a principle to move forward. So the first thing I see is that, that, you know, for us, even though we've been on this road and even though we've been evangelizing and even we've been preaching the word of God, there may be some territory that we got to go back over just to make sure that people got the fullness of what the word, because the word elevates in the man that it receives. When you first received Kichi Kichi, you didn't know it was Kachi Kachi. You had to now develop a relationship to now get into knowing that Kichi, oh, for you guys that don't know, and most should, Kichi Kichi is like Kachi Kachi. That is really a banana. But that is communication. That is relationship. That is growth. So when you first got the word, now I know everybody could testify this, that the word you spoke on day one is a total different word now that you're speaking. Some of those sermons that we went over, some of those evangelist trips that we made may have to be rehashed to give people the information that they didn't have when it was available. Amen. I hope that helped somebody there. It helped me. Verse 2, he said to them, did you receive the Holy Spirit when you were baptized? And they said to him, we have not so much as heard of whether there is a Holy Spirit. And he said to them, into what were you baptized? So they said to him, John's baptism, which we all know was with water. Then Paul said, John indeed baptized with a baptism of repentance, saying to the people that they should believe in him who would come after him, that is on Christ. When they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. When? Immediately. See, people who have been given the word, the truth, when you go back and you give them the phase two, because some people are still on phase one. Once we graduate them to phase two, when did they receive it? It didn't say that it took them 3 weeks, 4 weeks, 5 weeks. He said they were then baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. When? Immediately. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. Look at the now. It doesn't take a person to go through a 30-week process training to have to get or receive the Holy Spirit. Once they have stood in submission to say, here I am, I believe that Jesus Christ is my personal Lord and Savior. I confess him right now with my mouth, with my heart, they are immediately, family, immediately available for you to pray the prayer of receiving the Holy Spirit. And immediately when they receive it, they what? They speak in other tongues. This is the word. It didn't say that, well, it took, and when Paul had laid hands on them, it took them 10 years to now. No, it was all in consistency. And when Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came upon them, and they spoke with tongues and prophesied. When, in verse 7, it says, now, woo, Jesus, that's my favorite word, now the men were about 12 in all. And he went into the synagogues and spoke boldly for 3 months. Spoke boldly for 3 months. Stop right there. Sometimes we got, you know, sometimes we do it too much, family. Sometimes we take this anointing and the power that God has given us through the authority of Jesus Christ, and we everywhere. Tell one of us to stay in one church for 3 months and just minister, and that's not your church. We feel like we have to move around. Look what Paul did. Paul went into the synagogue and spoke boldly for 3 months, reasoning and persuading concerning the things of the kingdom of God. That word persuading, that means he repetitiously taught the word over and over and over again, the same word, because you cannot try to get me to believe in one thing and come with me with something else. Persuading tells me that I have to stick on the same thing, that I have to master, say master. See, we have to master this walk. We have to master this word. We have to master these principles. That we can't no longer just say, okay, I got it, I'm done, and move on. We have to understand that these lessons, these principles are meant to be so repetitious in our lives, is that there's no question on what your answer or your action will be. He persuaded concerning the things of the kingdom of God. He didn't tell them about their banking. He didn't tell them about their basketball team. He didn't persuade them. The only thing that he was concerned about, and this goes back to God being the source of everything, is that because it could have said, well, he persuaded them about their families and about this and about that and about that. No, he concerned them about the kingdom of God. Now, this is very important because it goes back to what we teach, is that God has to be the source of everything. Before we can teach anything else, we must teach, persuade on the kingdom of God. Not the kingdom of reason, not the kingdom of maybes, not the kingdom of coulda, wouldas, and shouldas, but in the kingdom of God. Not the king of pulpits, not the kingdom of pastors, and the kingdom of this, but the kingdom of God. And it wasn't just good enough with one message. It had to be preached over repetitiously. You can't persuade someone with one message, and then next week you have a new message. And a new message, and none of these messages connect. We must persuade by teaching the kingdom of God. It may take a 3-month series in some churches. It may take some 6-month series in some churches. And guess what? It may take some lifelong principles that are set in standard in churches. See, we talked about in the Acts of the Apostles that one of the most prolific lessons that they teach is oneness. Same language, same praise, same word. But if they were all getting different words, how would they be unified on the word? I'm not knocking guest preachers, and I'm not knocking conferences, and I'm not, believe me, I'm not, because I help and do and work in the ministry too. But when we are protected of our houses, we have to be very particular on what we let in, what word we let go forth. Yes, it may be a good word for down there 10 miles away, but in this house, the word must be consistent with the kingdom of building the kingdom of God. We have to get it in a systematic habit of not rushing the word of God. Just like when you're eating a meal, it says you must chew it 37 times, then you swallow it, then it's digested, and then whatever else happens, happens. That's too much information. But see the process? You can't just gobble it all down. What happens? You get sick. But you like that food, so you eat that food what? Over and over and over again until you develop a habit of chicken. Verse 9. But when some were hardened and did not believe, but spoke evil of the way before the multitude, he departed from them and withdrew his disciples, reasoning daily in the schools of Tyrannus. Look at that right there. He didn't fight them. He didn't go against them. He didn't argue with them. What it says, he moved on. See, family, we got to know when to move on. Opposition is not bad, but it's detrimental to the walk of making other disciples. If you're making disciples and all they can see is dissension and all they can see is confusion, do you think they're going to follow? We have to learn. Now, look at the example Paul's given us. You got to move around. Sometimes you got to count your losses and say, you know what, enough is enough. I have to go. because there's greater work to do. We get so caught up in one situation that we miss the opportunity to keep moving. When? Now. That's the Bible says that he departed. And this continued for 2 years, so that all who dwelt in Asia heard the word of the Lord Jesus Christ, both Jews and Greeks. Look at the church grow. If you go, if you continue to give, if you continue to go make disciples, the church will grow. Your church will grow. Our church will grow. Verse 11. Now, God worked unusual miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs or aprons were brought from the body to the sick, and the disease left them, and the evil spirits went out of them. Then some of the illiterate Jewish exorcists took it upon themselves to call the name of the Lord Jesus Christ over those who had evil spirits, saying, we adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul preaches. Also, there were seven sons of Sceva, a Jewish chief priest, who did so. And the evil spirits gathered and said, Jesus I know, and Paul I know, but who are you? I wasn't going to say this, but yes, I am. You know, the evil spirits got more sense than we do. People come lay their hands on you, give you a word, and just because they got the right suit on, just because they hang with the right clique, we expect that they are from Jesus. We have to be more protected on who we allow into our environments. You've heard me say this before. If it's not working, or if there's no productivity coming out of it, you must question. If somebody's in your life and they're nothing but a draw on you, they're nothing but a liability. Yes, they get up in the morning. Yes, they scream Jesus. They scream. Yes, they do all the things that the religious people would like to see. But do they really represent Jesus? Have you done your homework? Look right there. The evil spirits looked up at him and said, you know what? Yeah, we know Jesus. We'd have been up out of here. We'd have left soon. We seen Paul coming down the street, but they let them get right up on him, and I would hate to see what happens after that. This up, verse 14. Also, there were seven spirits of Sceva, and the Jewish chief priests who did also, and evil spirits answered and said to them, Jesus I know, Paul I know, but who are you? Then the man in whom the evil spirits was leaped on them, overpowered them, and prevailed against them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. Family, we must be fully armored. We must be fully in line with God and his word and the kingdom. That's why we keep coming back all beat up, less than we went out, no victory, no testimony, because we've allowed ourselves to step out without being ready, without being fully prepared, without going out to fight the battle instead of winning the battle. Preparation, family, is key. It's personal. It's something that us as warriors of the body of Christ have to take personal. We have to take these principles and be molded, not into what we would like, but what God molded from day one. He molded us in his own image. We are to look like him. Why would the word tell us that we were molded in his image if we weren't supposed to look like him? Why wouldn't we have the same spirit in us, but he breathed in us the breath of his life? Preparation. That's all it is. Preparation and following instructions. I have to say that again. Follow instructions is so important because we'll listen to anybody in the streets. If they tell us, well, I'm going to do this for you if you just do this, we'll follow instructions to get a quick reward. Something comes through God, we question it. We wonder how, why, where, who. We don't give God all the honor, all the glory. We give him all the complaints and all the reasons why we shouldn't do what he's telling us to do. Verse 17, this became known both to all the Jews and the Greeks dwelling in Ephesus, and fear fell on them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. See, sometimes the stuff got to happen before people really are ready to recognize that Jesus is real. And I know that none of us on the line, because we all, you know, got our own little perfect relationship. But you know that most people in churches are waiting to see Jesus come out of the ceiling every Sunday. And they sit there in anticipation, not believing what you say through the word, not seeing the move and the action of the Holy Spirit. They are waiting to see Jesus right now. And they got this big offering to give. They got this big gift, this big tithe, that is when they see him, they'll move. That's not God. God is looking for us to what? Believe in him by not seeing him. Trust in him by not hearing a verbal word. Following instructions just because we've been instructed. Who said it? Why they say it? Well, why are they telling me what to do? I don't know. Why are they telling me what to do? God said it. We should obey it. I mean, we remember in Romans 13, it says that God has appointed all authority. That means good or bad. Well, he's a rotten judge. He was still appointed because the Bible says a little farther in 13 that if you do not respect authority as is under God, you disrespect God. Not yesterday, not right then, immediately. And so our lessons, our principles have to be designed that people can start to experience change immediately. Our goal must be to enlighten people and to equip them to walk this thing alone. Everything I see from all of the lessons, from all of the teachings, from all of the examples was trying to show us how you could do this thing one-on-one, independently. Yes, there's power in numbers. Yes, we have families and groups. But if we're not all individually sound, how are you going to know where the weak link is? How are we going to know where the attack is sneaking in at if you're not on one accord? If somebody can say a certain thing and it's not an agreement, but you still say amen, how's that agreement? How's that family? How's that oneness? How's that saying that it's God the source? Not me, not you, not what you said, not what I wrote, but it's God. It says, this became known both to Jews and Greeks dwelling in Ephesus. And fear fell on them. And then the name of the Lord Jesus was magnified. Just something's wrong with that for me. It's a good example that they eventually came. But why are so many of us waiting for fear to come? For something so that now we feel that he's going to, that now we know that we know that we know that he's going to cast us to hell. Or that he's going to disown us. Oh, now we want to run to the cross instead of being willing to come to the cross. And it starts with us leaders. It starts with us pastors and us bishops and us apostles and us prophets. That when we go out and make disciples, we make equipped disciples. We make disciples that are assets and not liabilities. We make disciples that it doesn't take a 10-page book, a flight in, and someone to say back to watch them, because if you're on one accord, some things you just don't, you don't even have to ask the question because you're on one accord. Yes, I'm glad they made it when fear fell on them. But for this day, for this move, we can't wait till fear comes. We got to get it now through love, through joy, through rejoicing him. And many of them who had believed came confessing and telling of their deeds. Also, many of those who practiced magic brought their books together and buried them in sight of all. And they counted up the value of them, and it totaled 50,000 pieces of silver. Okay, I got to throw this out there, because this is a question that you never hear anybody talk about. There is people who practice other things in Christianity. There
Watch out, there are things out there, Pastor.
I'm sorry, but I got to keep, the Bible just brought it out, so I got to keep it real. Listen, there are people out there that are practicing other methods of belief.
Come on.
Everybody is not saying, yes, Lord. Everybody
all
out
right.
there is not praising Jesus.
Uh-huh.
Well, that's what the Bible just said then. It had to be somebody that was doing witchcraft for them to bring the books of witchcraft in.
Come on now.
So if it was going on then, family, you better believe it's going on now.
All right.
Every church you walk in, please, this segment, throw this on P2P Ministries alone. Don't blame nobody else. Don't get mad at nobody else. Get this all on me because I'm putting this out there today. But every church you walk in.
Don't call me, please.
Every church out there is not practicing Jesus Christ.
Come on.
That's why we have to be so protected on who we invite in and who we go in with.
All right.
Oh, yeah, I know he got the big check, and I know he got a new building, and I know he going to give you this, but is he really serving God?
Come on.
We wonder why it feels like it's a spell over your life. Ooh, Jesus. We wonder why we're doing everything that God told us to do, but the fruit is not coming because you may be having some curses on your life right now just because of the people you let in your environment.
My God.
You wonder why you know that God – oh, jeez, I got to say this one, too. You know God calls you to plant a church. But wherever you at, you can't get out of it. Ask your question. Ask yourself why. If we're meant to make disciples to go, then that should be the first thing we want to see them do is what? Go.
All right.
Some people – you know, there's people caught in churches in so much bondage. They can't leave, and we wonder – And we know that we got to stop blaming Jesus for stuff like this and understand that there are other forces, that there are other entities that practice other things. Because it's not always what it is, but what it looks like it is. If it looks pretty, we just accept it to be pretty. If it's shiny, we just say it's shiny. But you never go and research and develop and recognize who is around us. This has to be the question today. Why am I not being blessed the way I'm supposed to be blessed? Because I know I give God all. I know I give him all my money. I know I give him all my time. But I'm still in a rut. He didn't mean for you to be like that. Because the word says that when you sow good seed into good ground, you will receive good harvest. See, we got to start doing some checks around here. We got to start going a lot deeper, asking a lot more questions. We stop at, you believe in Jesus? Oh, hell yeah, hello, blah, 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 blah. Speak a little tongue. We bring them in, and we're ready to go. Come on. I don't know why I'm on this today. But we bring people in and let them skip over new membership class. Because he can sing, because he can play the piano, because he can do this, because he can do that, or because he chose this or he tied that. Oh, no, come on, brother. You don't have to go through them 7 weeks. Come on, I'm going to get you through the back door. Do you know what you just let in through the back door? Because if you don't spend no time with them, you don't know their language.
All right.
If you don't have a relationship with them, you don't know what they say after you gone.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't know the prayer that they're really putting on you. That goes back to relationship. That goes back to being in order. That goes back to staying in the position to have God speak to my heart. It's called order. Because when you're in order, you can see, the Bible says that where there is darkness, it cannot comprehend light. If you are always in the light and darkness try to come, you're going to see it a mile away. If your relationship is in line with what? God and the kingdom. You won't be going through some of the things that we're going through because we don't go by what it looks like, what it sounds like, what it feels like, what it tastes like. We go by what it's like because you know the spirit by what? The spirit. Hands down. Go on and switch that one out the way because there is no gray area in that statement. If I know you, I know you by the spirit. I don't want to know how strong you are and how good you play basketball or how fine you are or how much money you have. That's not the spirit. Those are the carnal things of this world. Okay, I bet you everybody on this line knows one person that you just attest to him or her being a Christian because of what they wear, what they drive, and the Bible they carry. But you never ask deep questions to say, man, what do you do Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday?
Mm.
Or get in their car and press their presets on the radio. Mm. That's the first. Do you want to know what people listen to? Get in their car and press presets. I bet you one station is Christian and the rest is all over the place.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't need to take time to ask questions.
All
family,
right.
If you ask questions, you get an answer. Even if they don't give you one, you got an answer that person is not trustworthy.
Mm-hmm.
Got to move around.
Amen.
Woo!
I have to say this one more time. Because we know from on this end of the, from this part of the it's all over, but they say it's in the South. There's some churches that's practicing some things that ain't talking about the blood of Jesus.
It ain't just in New Orleans, baby.
It ain't just in New Orleans. It's all over the place. There's some people that we fellowship with. Let me keep it 100 with you. There's some people that we fellowship with that are not about Jesus Christ. They look like it. They sound like it, but they are not. Like Jesus Christ.
Practice.
Is that wrong? No, that's not. It's right for you to want to know. It's right for you to be accountable. It's right for you just don't fall for anything. Ooh, that was a good word. But you don't see no life in it. And everything you touch is crumbling. But you're doing everything that God has told you to do. To the best of your ability, you should be blessed. The next question should be, why not? Because it's not God. It's our fault because we allow so many things to get in our business. We tell people about our desires and our prayers before we tell God. And we wonder why they never get to God. Family, we got to get better at this thing. We got to start building a family. Listen to this. Family that we trust. Family that we can count on. Family that I know that if I call your number, if I don't get you, you're going to call me back. I don't have to call you. That's family. Relationship. When somebody tells me something about Evangelist Bernard, they better go another way because I already know the woman that I have a relationship with. The first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to call Evangelist Bernard. I'm going to say, well, hold on, sister. It's all good. But let's get Evangelist Bernard in this thing. I tell you then, you're either going to see the truth come out one way or the other. Because they're going to say, why you call them? You already know they're lying. You already know they're trying to plant bad seed. You see, we can catch it before it even gets started. But a lot of us will just let rumors go. We don't hold people accountable. People don't tell me much stuff, family, because the first thing they know I'm going to do is call another person. Right, wrong, or whatever. I'm going to get both parties in it, and I'm going to say, okay, now, tell me about her in her face. And we can work on it because then we can get the truth out. Then we can heal both parties. Then we can see God glorified instead of the church keep taking the hits of people's mistakes. People's mistakes because they're not gardening their own garden. They got other garden. They got somebody else cutting the grass. They got somebody else pruning the trees when we are supposed to protect our own gardens. If Pastor Miracle ain't working in my garden, ain't nobody else going to get into it, period. I trust her. I know she has the same heart to plant the same seeds. I know that the harvest will come because it's already good ground. It's been tilled. It's been worked. We've de-weeded it. But let somebody else come up here and say, hey, man, y'all can go and take a week off. I got your garden for you. I'll just work. I don't need a day off. Because I know I have to stick with people I trust. Okay, you say, well, Pastor, how you know that? Because if they love God like I love God, it's confirmed by the Spirit. Not by what they do, not by their offers, not by anything other than the Spirit. I'm going to move on, but I got to say that one more time. Family, let's be more aware. Let's be more conscious that everything that's around you ain't for you. Some people around you is for themselves, and they use any method, any matter to get where they want to get to, even if it means crushing you, standing on you. Yes, 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 it's terrible. Yes, it shouldn't be that way. And it won't be that way when we get totally in line with God's word and follow the principles. Because I'm responsible for who comes in my life, not God. I'm responsible for who attacks me, not God. I'm responsible for who comes and kicks in my front door, not God. Man, God, why you didn't protect me? He gave us every tool to protect ourselves. Ask the right question. Don't allow anybody just in your house. Don't let everybody see all your possessions. Don't let everybody know your vision and your dream. Because all they're there for is to rob, kill, and destroy. God will show us when, right now, when we're in line with him in time, who he sent, why he sent them, and how long he sent them for. Because nobody's been sent to stay. Everybody must grow and go higher, go farther, go somewhere else. Hey, there's a lot of land to cover. Ooh, Jesus. 19. Also, many of those who had practiced magic brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all. Well, I can't get past this. Just because somebody brought the book out and burned it didn't mean it was the books left at home. People got to go through transformation. You got to know you can trust them. You got to know they have to prove, get a track record of trust. If we trust God as the source, we must learn how to trust people. But they must become trustworthy. Let me just skip down to 20. So the word of the Lord grew mightily and prevailed. We're right back to the same point. If you preach the word, it will go forth. We kind of give ourselves excuse about the word returning to us, to him void and not us. If you preach the word will prevail. It will go forth. It will bless. It will anoint. It will heal. It will change if you preach the word. 21. When these things were accomplished, Paul proposed a purpose in the Spirit. When he had passed through Macedonia and Achaia, to go into Jerusalem, saying, "After I have been there, I must also see Rome." See, check this out, family. You need a vacation sometime too. Sometimes you got to get out of your territory. You look, he made some stops, and that was a personal statement. Don't think you just got to all be tied to ministry all the time. I know y'all saying that boy's something else. He find a way to get the truth out of every bit of that word. But look at what it said. He went to two places, and then he made the statement that I must see Rome too. You need a vacation sometime, family. Yes, you can go on vacation and still worship God, but you need your rest too. Let yourself off the hook. Let yourself off the hook. 22. So he sent into Macedonia two of those who ministered to him, Timothy and Erastus. But he himself stayed in Asia for a time. See, he needed a lot of rest. And about that time, there were a great commotion about the way. for a certain man named Demetrius, a silversmith who had made silver shrines of Diana, brought no small profit to the craftsmen. He called them together with the workers of similar occupation and said, "Men, you know that we have our prosperity by this trade. Moreover, you see and hear that not only in Ephesus, but throughout almost all Asia, this Paul has persuaded and turned many people, saying that they are not gods which are made with hands." Right there. A lot of stuff you see, you got to call it out. Stuff you know ain't right, you got to stop being silent. Stuff that you know is not in order with God, you must speak out, even if you throw them under the bus. Because it's not about what people think. It's about what God thinks. If we're going to honor the kingdom of God, we must respect the kingdom of God. We must honor the kingdom of God and nothing else. Now, remember, we must do everything through what? Through love. But that doesn't mean you got to continue to not say what you know you should have said 5 years ago. Oh, baby, I ain't going to just say nothing. I don't want to get in that mess. You know what? We got to get out of that. In the world, they call it snitching. We ain't in the world. We in the Holy Spirit, accountable. See, in the world, they call it snitching because, see, somebody going to get in trouble for getting in trouble for getting in trouble. But in the Spirit, we are accountable because if you do not hold yourself accountable and other people accountable, you might answer for them in the day. They may get a clean ride just because you did not hold them accountable. The Bible says that most people get away with things because they don't know. Once you get the knowledge of it, now you can be held accountable for it. And just by us holding someone accountable may be just enough to get them in line and get them on track. See, everything we do is not to tear down, it's to build up. By me holding you accountable to time, that means I'm holding myself accountable to time. And not only to time, but most of all to God. So not only, 27, so not only is this trade of ours in danger of falling in disrepute, but also the temple of the great goddess Diana may be despised and her magnificence destroyed, whom all Asia and the world worship. And when they heard this, they were full of wrath and cried out, saying, "Great is Diana of Ephesus." So the whole city was filled with confusion. Remember I told you, the enemy is not here to try to kill you. He's just trying to confuse us. If he could keep us confused without being on one accord, without having unity, without the word going forth, and us saying yes and amen, he got us right where he wants us, confused, mad at each other, arguing, questioning. If I have to ask a question about you, I need you on the phone quick. If there's a doubt that comes up, you have to be the first person I call, not somebody else. If somebody tells me about somebody, I must talk to them first. Because confusion is the gas to the fire. No understanding will destroy any relationship. And confusion usually comes from a lack of communication.
Woo,
a lack of communication. We just didn't want to say nothing. I didn't want to hurt their feelings. But you will still let them go on down the street, knowing they're going to run off the side of the road, and then say, "Well, I didn't know that was going to happen." But all we had to do was speak a word and say, "Enough is enough. Let me hold you accountable because you said you serve the same God I serve. Let me in your closet now. Let me into your life so I can understand you. Let me now analyze you so I can see if you are really worthy to be in a relationship with me. Because God is going to hold me accountable for me. You can't go and say, "Well, let Pastor E off because he should have told me this, but I ran. Or he tried to tell me, I wouldn't listen." That's not going to help. I'm going to be held accountable for it because it's my responsibility to hold you accountable as well as letting you hold me accountable. Now, before you take this off and run off with it, let me just say this one more time. You have to be willing to be more accountable than you account for somebody else. You cannot try to get in somebody's business and keep your door shut. That's why our doors have to be open. That's why our lives have to be on one accord with God. That's why our lives have to exemplify the kingdom of God, not man.
You preaching today, Jesus.
Verse 30, and when Paul wanted to go in to the people, the disciples would not allow him. Then some of the officials of Asia who were his friends sent to him pleading that he would not venture into the theater. Some, therefore, cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was what? Confused. And most of them did not know why they had come together. See, if you ain't on one accord, we got people coming to meetings that have no idea why they're there. When everybody who comes should already be prepared to receive a word. You know, if we teach our churches, our people, our disciples, to come to church with an expectation that God is moving already, watch your church, watch your service change.
All right.
If your people are prepared to meet God, guess who they're going to find? God.
Mm-hmm.
If our people walk in the authority of Jesus Christ, what will we have? We will have the authority of Jesus Christ.
Mm.
Not of ourselves, but of Jesus Christ. Verse 32, some therefore cried one thing and some another, for the assembly was confused, and most of them did not know why they had come together. See, family, we fall for anything. One good word we heard here on the east side, we'll travel all the way to the west side not knowing what we're traveling for. We just got a little word. We heard of a major thing going on the north side, but we live on the south side. That's $50 of gas. We'll use $50 of gas to get up there, and ain't nothing there for you. Because we don't investigate. We don't take time to ask questions.
That's right.
We just go. We just run. And then we blame God and say, why you send me out there? That wasn't for me. You didn't even ask God. You just got in your car and went.
All right,
because we don't know who to trust. We don't rely on reliable sources. We got faulty perceptions. We fall for anything. Family, we gotta stop falling for anything. If it's not in the word, say no. If God hasn't anointed it, get out of it. If God is not blessing it and you don't see fruit coming, you better move around and go somewhere else.
Now
watch this. That means if you want the greatness that God has for you, but if you're used to it, because see, that's how we get so comfortable. When we know we go to church here, we get out by here, I'm at home by here, they ain't going to call me till Wednesday. If you're comfortable with that life, then I'm not talking to you today. But if you are looking to go to a place where God can use you and use you in such a way to bring others to him, this family, this fight is not a personal fight. It is a family fight. We must build the kingdom of heaven on earth by making disciples. Why would Jesus give us the instruction to go make more disciples if the disciples he had were just enough? That was one of the most prolific instructions that he gave us, was to go and make more. That lets me know that the numbers we have don't match up. That lets me know that we got to fortify and we got to get people on a better stage. That lets me know that we got to work harder. That lets me know that it does not stop, that I must continue to go and make more disciples. Because God knows it's going to take a number of us on one accord. And the Bible says that he's coming back for one church. It never said that he would come, well, just because over there on the left side, they're doing okay. It didn't say that the north side, the south side, or the west side would get it. He said one church. Why would he tell us to go make more disciples if we weren't trying to make one church? That goes back to nobody left behind. Okay, so, okay, all right, yeah, they do that over there now. Well, go over there and show them how to do it right. Well, Pastor, how do I do that? By doing it right. You don't have to kick the door in and say, you're doing that. This is what we normally do. We get bold. We kick the door in, and we want to cast people down, and we want to talk about them, and we want to belittle them instead of just showing them by example how to do it the right way. Because when they see fruit in your yard, they're going to want some fruit in their yard too. When they see prosperity come your way, they're going to ask the question, how did you get there? And then now is the time to say, I'm glad you asked me that question, because I've been wanting to come over there and tell you is that your methods seem to be a little bit off mark for what God called you to do.
All right.
It didn't happen in hate. You didn't hurt nobody. He came to you. But by example, by God seeing the fruit of the labor in your life and people being able to exemplify off of that, they'll come to you running. Because just like misery loves company, so does people, so does prosperity. We draw unto us the likenesses of our hearts. If your heart is God, you ain't going to have nothing but a bunch of God people around you. That's because you serve only God. And he's going to line you up with people that confirm your heart. You know the spirit by the spirit.
All right.
Verse 35. And when the city clerk had quieted the crowd, he said, men of Ephesus, what man in this is there who does not know that the city of the Ephesians is the temple guardian of the great goddess Diana and of the image which fell down from Zeus? Therefore, since these things cannot be denied, you ought to be quiet and do nothing rashly. For you have brought these men here who are neither robbers of temples nor blasphemies of the goddess. Therefore, if Demetrius and his fellow craftsmen have a case against anyone, the courts are open and there is a prosecutor's, let them bring charges against them. But if you have any other inquiry to make, it shall be determined in the lawful assembly. For we are in danger of being called in question for today's uproar, there being no reason which we give account for this disorderly gathering. And when he had said these things, he dismissed the assembly. Family, when you know that it ain't nothing but some mess going on over there, stop going. When you know that every time you go over there, the same thing happens, why you keep going back? I know that's your sister. I know that's your cousin. I know that's your family. I know y'all same blood. But every time you go over there, you get hurt. Why keep going? You may be fellowshipping somewhere where every time you go there, you get put in the wrong category. But we keep going because of habitual reasons. My mama went there. I got to keep going there. My daddy went there. He used to be the pastor. Instead of saying enough is enough, I have to break ties of anything that's not in line with God's word. The power of one. Power of one is God the source, and the rest follows underneath. There can only be one. Me and you put together will not make the power of one. All of us together will not combine to the power of one, because there's only one God. And he must be seen that way. He must be respected that way. He must be honored that way. And our actions must exemplify how he would do it. Yeah, that was a big fad, WWJD. I loved it because it was a good question to ask. Before you make any decision, what would Jesus do? Point blank, bottom line. No ifs, ands, or buts about it. Oh, yes, because we didn't think of it. We didn't buy into it. I was always for the WWJD because what a testimony. I'm glad they came up with it. I wish it would have been me, but since it wasn't, I'm going to glorify God for them, because that is such a reminder we need to have. Before you do anything, what would Jesus do? Stop wondering what your wife would do, what your friends would do, or what they would have done. We must rely on what Jesus would do. And it's right here in the Word. Right here in the Word. We're learning it very clearly here in the books of Acts, that we got to stay mindful, that we got to stay conscious, that we must be on alert at all times. And most of all, it's our responsibility for the things that are happening in our lives, not God. God did it all. God is providing everything you need according to your faith, according to your activating the principle in your life. Work on your hedge this weekend. for the rest of your life. Make sure that every pillar, see, I have 7 pillars in my hedge. Yours may have 10. Yours may be 30. Yours may be 1. Well, no, you need more than 1 to make a hedge out of. But we must start to work on the hedge of protection around and about us. That we know that we know that we know it ain't happening up in here. How many times do you question, what are you doing wrong? Ooh, Jesus. How many times do you question, is that my fault? How many times do you question or doubt yourself that you should have said no or you should have said yes? If you could just say yes to one of those things, the hedge that's protecting you may have a little bit of weakness somewhere. And it's our job as family to make sure the complete hedge is fortified. It's complete. That's when you can say, not up in this house. Up in this house, we will praise the Lord. You can't make a statement like that when you know the back door is still open. You can't make a statement like that when the windows don't even lock. You can't make a statement like that when they can sneak through the garage. That because everything is not protected. Family, let's go higher. Let's take this word as truth. Let's absorb it. Let's walk in this word and look at the examples that what is going on then is going on now. These examples tell us that we got to be watchful of what people worship. Everybody's not praising God like you, family. Everybody's not trying to get to the kingdom like you are, family. Some people think they're already in the kingdom. That's why we can't be conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind that you can see the new world that comes from heaven to earth. When? Right now. It's only by your thinking. It's only by your transformation. It's only by your willingness to do something better than you just did. If I preach a sermon 5 minutes ago, I'm trying to preach a better one now. I want to study harder. I want to go deeper. I want to know more. I want more of God, less of me, more of him. And he ain't failed me yet. Got a little testimony I want to share with you before we close today. I am truly a believer and a walker in healing. We did a stage play on Tuesday here in Houston called Freedom. It was a Black History play by James Hudson and Showtime, which I'm a part of that group also. But we did the play there, and when I got there, they were trying to construct the background to go up, and nobody could do it. Well, Pastor Ed took the coat off, and Pastor Ed's carpenter came out, and I put it together in excellence. But there were some people around me that weren't in excellence. There were some people that weren't conscious as I was. And as I was working, now mindful, I came there dressed in a suit with some dress shoes, and I'm working in my dress clothes to help this production to go forward. And lo and behold, out of the contraption I put together, all of a sudden, a 15-pound weight drops. This 15-pound weight, now, here it is, Pastor Ed, working in construction around a bunch of people in an auditorium waiting to see the play. First thing that happened was that weight fell, and it fell right on Pastor E's foot. And I promise you, family, this is not over-exaggerating. It felt like that weight hit my foot, went through my bone, hit the floor, bounced up, and fell off. Of course it was painful. But because of my relationship with him, I was able to grab hold of that piece of wood, speaking in tongues immediately, because the show must go on. And the show wasn't about me. It was about him. And I just said out in front of everybody, right now, in the name of Jesus, this foot is healed. It's not broke. It may have a little pain, but it will not break. I will be able to walk. I will go forward right now in the name of Jesus. The pain went away. A little tweak here, but the show went forward. I got home that night, took my boot off, took some pictures of it and sent it out and said, look what happened. Nothing had happened to my toe, family. All you could see was one line going across my toe where the weight hit.
Oh.
But didn't swell it up, didn't nothing. Well, then my roommate was saying to me, he said, man, you going to put ice on it? I said, no. Because he was there when it happened. He saw my face. He said, man, I couldn't have held that one in. He said, man, boy, and I walked away from that place healed. Got home, took my thing, he saw it. He said, man, you don't put ice in it. I said, no. I woke up the next morning. Yes, there was a little coloration, but Pastor E is walking right now. No pain, no breaks, no nothing. Now, by walking in God's favor and being willing to, watch this. It wasn't me. I had no power. But the word, woo, Jesus, the word was so prolific. The word was claimed in authority. And the healing was dispensed into my body as soon as I spoke it. Not a week later, not after, you know, not after, well, it didn't break, I just got to get the swelling down. No, my faith activated immediately. It didn't take a week, it didn't take 2 weeks, it didn't even take a minute. Immediately, when I claimed the name of Jesus on my toe. I still got the pictures on my phone if you want to see them. There's a little discoloration around the nail, but where it hit was way up by the knuckle on the big toe. No signs of anything. That's Jesus walking in his word. It's not us. It's not by power. It's not by might, but it's by his divine spirit, saith the Lord. Miracles are available. Healing is available. Transformation is available right now, immediately, in the name of Jesus, just by your faith and the word that you speak. Let God use you in such an awesome way that the power and the glory of him manifests through you right now in the name of Jesus. No more fear, no more doubt, no more pain, but nothing but joy and the anointing of the Lord on your life to go and make disciples. In Jesus' name today, we claim it. In Jesus' name, we stand on it. In Jesus' name, we demand it. By the blood of Jesus, that anything you do that's in line with his word shall come to pass right now in the name of Jesus. I thank God for you. Family, I do love, appreciate, honor you in Jesus' name. Heavenly Father God, we thank you today, Lord, that your word has went forth. Lord, we thank you today, Lord, that there's not even a question of void. Lord, we thank you that your word is powerful and that it brings life. It brings change. It holds us accountable and pushes us and demands excellence out of us. We thank you for that today. Lord, we pray for every ear that has heard that their life has been changed immediately. We thank you right now, Lord, for new destiny. Evangelist Bernard, Minister Ruby, my family. Thank you, Lord, that as we stand in the gap for them, that they're standing in the gap for us too. That as we pray for them, they're praying for us too. That as we're blessed, they're blessed too. As we grow, they grow too. That there's no lack in this relationship. We pray for no lack in this relationship. We pray for no lack. We know that Evangelist Bernard is about to return home, but we pray right now that you leave Stockton in order. We pray right now that the work that she's done, somebody's about to take it over and stand in the spot that she has been praying for forever. We pray that the excellence will go forth and that we'll continue Stockton moving on in this planting, in this going, and in this making disciples. And we thank you today, Lord. We thank you. We praise you. We magnify your name, for you alone are worthy. Have your awesome way. We thank you today. We praise you in Jesus' name. Woo, and all in agreement, just say amen. Just wave your hands. Just worship him. Just give him praise right now. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus.
Thank
amen,
you,
amen,
Lord.
Amen.
You.
God bless you guys.
God bless you, Pastor Hamilton. Evangelist Bernard.
Amen, amen.
Woo, Jesus.
Hallelujah.
Okay, okay then. So we had quite a few on the line. But they, some of them have dropped off now. I'm open. Well, let me see. I thought it was
amen.
Still. You got it, Evangelist, or you want me to?
Yes, praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Just want to say thank you to Pastor Hamilton for an excellent, excellent lesson today. I tell you, he really didn't leave a stone unturned. He said so many truths today. You can't argue with truth. Amen. You can't even argue with God's word. And because truly, our arms are too short to box with God. I certainly thank God for that word. I'm in transition out here. The weather's not the greatest, but I'm going to thank God for the rain anyhow. You know, sometimes we complain when there's no rain. We complain when there is rain, so we just complain. Hallelujah. But I bless the Lord today for that awesome word that was spoken today, and it's so true. You know, we search after everything, but we don't search for God. Amen. We always going here, there, and everywhere, but we don't stop. I heard what he said. Just stop a moment and pray and ask the Lord, if it's thy will, if it's your will, Lord God, should I or should not? Amen. I thank God for that word on today. It has reached, touched me in a deep place. And even as we begin to hear the word of God, people of God, let's not become combative. We're not on this line, as Pastor Hamilton said. We're not on this line to fight and pull out one another and discourage one another. That's not our objective. Our objective is to preach and teach the gospel. And yes, the scriptures are here for our learning, and there is to be reproof. There is to be correction, but let's do it in love. Let's not do it to belittle or to demean anyone. That's not our purpose. If that was my purpose, I would have stopped 26 months ago. But I know one thing, that God has souls out here. Amen. And this gospel is going to be preached to every creature. And yes,
ooh, hallelujah.
There's a technology that is going forward. There's some technology that I'm not even abreast of. I don't even know how to go forth in it. But guess what? Whatever you don't know, if you have a willing heart and you have a teachable spirit, hey, God will bless and send people into your life that can take you from 19th century ministry until 21st century ministry. We're in the 21st century. Amen. We're not in the 19th century. And I'm not saying change the word of God, because God's word is forever settled in heaven. We're not trying to rewrite the scripture. We're not trying to reinvent the wheel. But we're trying to make sure that God's will in our life is done. Many times we make decisions that others may not understand, that others may question. Amen. But if God has spoken to you, don't look for no help. If he said for you to go and you have said, yes, Lord, go. And I am a witness that God will make provision for your vision. Oh, yes, God
yes,
will
he
do
will.
That because God is not a man that he would lie. Neither is he the son of man that he would have to repent. If we would all just focus on what God has called us to do, what is your assignment? Do you have an assignment? Well, if you have an assignment, be busy, as Pastor Hamilton said, be busy performing and doing the assignment that God has given to you.
Yes.
My assignment, we all have one assignment that's in common, and that is, amen, to be ye witnesses. We have
to
be witnesses to make disciples. But guess what? If we're fighting one another and we're sowing discord in the body and we're biting and devouring one another, the Bible said, well, there's envy and strife, there's every evil work. And if we bite and devour one another, the scripture also said, be careful unless you all be consumed.
Yeah.
Do we
want to
be consumed? Or are we working out our own soul salvation with fear and trembling? Don't be quick to dissect another man's gift or what another man have spoken. Sometimes we on this line to hear, to see if somebody going to say something out of context, if it's not scriptural sound, if it's not doctrinal sound. Come on, people of God. Are you on this line to get help? are you here to just criticize? If you don't want any help, then go on and find another line that you can connect with, and maybe that line can help you. Hallelujah.
Ooh, Jesus, come on now.
We just had all people that was unsaved call into this line. Because sometimes the saved folks, we're so critical. That's why we can't win no souls. The Bible said to win souls, you must be wise. And to gain friends, you have to show yourself friendly. First, show yourself friendly. And I'm not throwing off on nobody. But sometimes, guess what? The Bible has given me the privilege and the right to reprove and correct also. I'm the overseer of this line. I don't call myself overseer. I'm Sister Bernard. And I'm just so glad that when God saved me, amen, just to be in the family of God where somebody even recognized me as a sister, that's an honor to me. Because when I was in the world, I was a cutthroat. Nobody called me sister. I had a nickname. Yeah. And you better believe when you call that nickname, folks knew the nickname. They didn't know Adrian. But when I came into this wonderful life, guess what? The Lord gave me an opportunity to say yes to his will. And I've been running for my life ever since. I'm not
hallelujah.
To win no, to gain no friends. I'm not here for no accolades. I'm not here to be esteemed. I'm not here to be edified. I don't need that, people of God. All I need is God's will to be done in my life. Amen. And I'm going to do it as God would have me to do it. I'm going to go for it as God. I take my instructions from God. I don't take them from man. I take my, yes, I will. I am obedient, and I am submissive. And I have had men over my life for just about 30 years. And it's not a pastor that I was submissive to would tell you something ugly about me. Amen. They'll tell you one thing. Guess what? If you ask her to do something and you give it, put it in her hands to do, I'm going to get it done. And that's it. But I don't like mess. I don't like confusion. I don't like division. I don't like strife. And I don't like envy. It's not of God. So if these are the kind of spirits that you're going to bring to this line, I'm asking you today to remove yourself. If we can't come on this line and have true fellowship, I mean, look up the word like liberal Democrats say. Go to dictionary.com. Look up true fellowship because we have to be a light. If we're not here to be a light, and every speaker that come on this broadcast, we have something to say about it. Oh, this is not right. That ain't right. Well, get what is right in your life. Don't mess with nobody on this line. Because I tell you the truth, every speaker that come on this line, I believe they have been anointed of God. And when you see them not coming on the line no more, call me and ask me, and I'll give you a reasonable answer. Because when I find out that you're not walking in the things of God and you live in something other than what you're professing out your mouth, Sister Bernard is going to remove you off the line. Now, I don't have no control over who calls this number, who gets in the chat room, who make their little statements. I have no control over that. But I do have control over who's going to minister on this line. That comes through me, not Sister Ruby. Amen? So if you have somebody that you like and you want us to hear them, I usually interview them, get a little bio on them, and that's it. Some of the men and women of God that have come on this line, I've met through other people. Some I have met on Facebook, one in particular, Bishop Jesse Grant, out of Chicago, Illinois. And I tell you, I met Bishop Grant on Facebook. Sent him an invitation to come on the line. And when he come on the line, he preached the word, he teach the word, and then he say, God bless you, Evangelist Bernard, I'm gone. He don't even stay for the comments. He don't stay for the remarks. Hallelujah. So I'm just saying, I'm not arguing, I'm not fussing, but I believe it was necessary for me to do this because I received two calls this week about the speakers that was on this line. Amen. Now, I don't tell Pastor Hamilton or no one else that come on this line what to preach. We usually have a subject matter, and I ask them to teach or preach around that subject matter. That's it. Have I ever told you what to preach, Pastor Hamilton? Pastor Hamilton? Okay.
Yeah, not one time have you ever even gave me a suggestion other than let's do this or do that, but no, never.
Okay, so we have a subject matter. We're on a series of the Acts of the Apostles, and we said the Lord said do a chapter every day, and we tried to govern ourselves accordingly. Pastor Hamilton last week, he thought it was 15, but it should have been 14. But guess what? We didn't fall out behind that. When Monday came, I went back to chapter 14 because these are my instructions. And I went back and taught chapter 14 on Monday. We didn't fall out. Pastor Hamilton been coming on this line for just about a year now. And he's been so gracious. He's been meek. He's been humble. He's been faithful. He's never called me and told me, Sister Bernard, I don't like what somebody preached. That's not the... He's never had no conflict with this man of God.
Never.
And I don't intend on having no conflict with him ever. Amen.
Ever.
If it's something that's
ever
not correct, he'll contact me or I'll contact him and we'll talk about it, laugh about it, and we move on. But it's never been no issue. Never.
That's right.
So I want to say to my listening audience today, those of you that's on the line, those that come on the chat room, those that visit the archives, we love you dearly. We're here to preach and teach the gospel. We don't have any church at this time to direct you to, but in the near future, we're going to have a directory. And the areas that you're in, we're going to build a relationship with some of those pastors in some of the areas you're in, and we can direct you to a church. We're on this line as ministers of the gospel, and we're not here to embarrass. We're not here to offend. We're not here to tell you the denomination that you're in is not holy, is not of God. We're not here, and that's not what Pastor Hamilton said today. He said if the fruit ain't there, if you don't see the fruit, if you don't see the signs and the wonders, guess what? That's biblical. That's Bible, because the Bible said these signs shall follow them that believe. So if there's no signs, that's what I heard Pastor Hamilton say. Hey, get out of there. Get up out of there. Amen. So that's it. I love you all with the love of God. We appreciate. We didn't achieve over 69,000 listeners in 2 years bashing, embarrassing, and offending this gospel. We're not ashamed of this gospel, and we're not going to offend anybody preaching this gospel. So I just wanted to put that out there. Amen. So God bless you, Sister Ruby. I'm going to let her open up the lines. Anybody want to have a question or a comment, you're welcome to do so at this time. God bless you.
Oh, praise the Lord. We had quite a few on, but we still have a few on, and going by the time you came on. Let's go to Mother Charity.
Okay, let me say this, Sister Ruby. I want to say this, too, on behalf of Sister Ruby. Sister Ruby don't say it, but Mother Charity and Prophetess Darlene, they are the first callers sometimes that call into this line. And what Sister Ruby does is if we see an unknown number that we're not familiar with, a first-time number, Sister Ruby try to acknowledge the guests first and open up their lines. She's not showing any favoritism to anybody. And after she acknowledged those that come on the line that we don't know of, that's common courtesy. You, when a guest come into your church, you want to make sure you acknowledge your visitors and your guests first. Amen. Then she go down the line according to how you have called in. It don't make sense for me to open, Sister Ruby, to open up your line and you just came on 10 minutes ago and Mother Charity came on 10 minutes before the show starts. That's not fair. So we're trying to be fair. So I just wanted to put that out there. And when it's your turn, if you have a question or a comment, we open the line for you to do that. But please, don't come with a sermonette, because that is disrespectful to the speaker. The speaker that is scheduled to speak, they are the ones that we allot the most time to. Okay, the callers, we allow you to give your comments, ask for prayer, and ask a question, and make any other remarks you have. But we don't need nobody to turn to scriptures after the speaker have already spoken. Is that all right? God bless you.
Oh, okay. Mother Charity?
Yeah, praise the Lord. Amen.
Praise the Lord, Mother.
Yeah, God
hey,
bless
Mother.
You. Amen. I certainly have enjoyed, amen, this particular lesson that Brother Hamilton preached and taught about. Praise the Lord. And I praise the Lord for you, too. Amen. Keeping it straight and keeping it real. Amen.
Amen.
That's what it's all about. Praise God. Amen.
Amen. Love you.
Oh, yes. Amen. Glory to God. So y'all continue to pray for us. Amen. Because we need all of this.
Amen.
Amen, Mother. We love
you. Amen. Prophet Darlene Davis.
Bless the Lord. Good afternoon. God bless everyone.
Bless you.
Truly have been blessed on today. Thank God for the word on today. I thank God for a powerful word and a powerful teaching.
Yes.
I just thank God for this broadcast. I thank God for the
Hallelujah.
Leader. I just thank God for even the words she speak. I just thank God for the truth being told on this line. So my soul has been blessed. My soul is always blessed when I come on here. And so I just thank God for what he's doing and what he's going to do. I give honor also to Sister Ruby and everyone in their places. I just thank God. And I'm telling you, I'm laughing, but I just thank God for what he has done on today. My soul has
Ooh,
been blessed.
Jesus.
God bless you all and continue to be encouraged.
God bless you. We love you.
Love you. Amen.
Amen. Sister T.
God bless you guys as well. I just praise and honor God for the order that is on this line. I just honor God because it is truly some order on this line.
Ooh,
you know,
Jesus.
We don't want to do this out of order. And I praise God for the message that came forth on today. And I just thank God for his people. And I thank God for you, Pastor Hamilton. I love you, Evangelist Bernard, and I love you, Mother Ruby, and all the people on this line. Continue to pray my sister in the Lord. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. We love you, too.
Love you,
Amen.
Amen. Sister Barbara, Mother Charity, sister.
Pick up the voice,
okay. We won't hear that. We're going to go, Liberal Democrat, we're coming to you. We're going to go to Pastor Miracle. Pastor Miracle?
Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm so grateful for this broadcast. Thank God for you, Evangelist Bernard, and Sister Ruby, for your faithfulness. And, you know, Pastor Hamilton, just thank God for the word of God, you know, that
yes.
went forth. And when I tell you, I'm tremendously blessed by the word of God and just by this work that's going forth. Your faithfulness, all of you, is a big blessing, you know. And so I'm definitely provoked today. And, you know, I know that the light of the word has entered into me, and I'm never the same, you know, as a result of the word. And I definitely, you know, thank God. I know that change is a byproduct of, you know, of information. And so the information that I received today is provoking me to change. And so I'm just grateful. Evangelist Bernard, I love you. I want you to know that, you know, in the spirit of unity, we just thank God for this broadcast. Thank God for the order and correction. And I might be a little strange, but I like correction. I think it's good, you know. I think it helps us. And so, you know, and it's needed. And so thank God for that. That lets me know that we have great leadership. And so I'm just blessed today. And I thank God for all of you. And I'm sending my love. Pastor Hamilton, just dynamic, excellent, you know, just consistent man of God every day, all day, the word of God. And I appreciate that. And I thank God for you. Praise God for y'all. Bye-bye.
And we love you.
Amen.
Well.
Love y'all.
Appreciate
you so much.
Man.
Amen. We're going to minister Democrat.
Uh-oh.
Amen. 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 Praise him. My phone line dropped 3, 4, 5 times, but this was good. Amen. I am provoked. Amen. I heard Brother Preacher say when he hit that foot, folk was watching him. Amen. To see was he going to hold it in. But they didn't know, amen, to God, that this is a Holy Ghost, amen. It's been replaced. This is a new creature, amen. So I'm provoked, amen, to God, amen. Like in the Bible, when he was talking about the decrees and the clamor, the men of God were just saying, amen, to God, well, this one's healed, or this one is this, or this one is that. And he spoke over his own life. And I'm provoked, amen, to do decrees over my own life, amen. To just start saying some stuff, amen. Like he said, amen, to God, when they got saved and whatnot, that they did some renunciation. They got rid of some stuff. Amen. And I had to do the same thing when I came into this thing. Amen of God. And I still do it even on today. Amen. I have to renounce. Amen. I said, Lord, if I'm going to walk this walk, I'm going to have to renounce this walk. So I'm encouraged. Amen of God. The man of God giving us the power and authority, reminding us we have to speak decrees over our own life. And I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. I receive it. And I'm provoked right about now. Hallelujah. Amen. So God bless
hallelujah.
You, man, God.
God bless you, man.
Hallelujah. Amen, amen, hallelujah.
Amen. Sister Albertine.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. In the rain, I'm praising the Lord.
All right.
I
came in. Hi, Pastor Hamilton. Evangelist.
Hello.
Sister Ruby, Liberal Democrat, all the callers. I don't even know what to say. I'm in such awe because I was fed. And then, I don't know, it's just amazing. And all I can say is I love you guys. And Evangelist Bernard, sometimes you got to get your feet wet. And that's, you have to, I commend you. That's all I can say. And
amen.
I thank
hallelujah.
You guys. And I don't even, I'm just so in awe because it was just so right on time. And you know, I don't know. It's just one of those situations. But I thank God, and I came in the last, like, I guess 20 minutes, and it was very good, very powerful as usual. And I do have two questions, so if you get everybody, I'll go last, but I do have two questions.
No, go right ahead. Go right ahead. We'll get to the others. Go right ahead.
I just want to make sure the two things that we're clear on, and Pastor Hamilton, about dating and about drinking. And Evangelist Bernard knows where this is coming from. So please just tell me about it scriptural-wise. I want to know in the scripture. Tell me what about drinking in the Bible and about dating, please.
All right, Pastor Hamilton.
I have searched this one out, so I'm going to speak on this one. From Revelation up to Genesis and Genesis to Revelation, I never saw anything in the Bible about dating.
Okay.
I searched it because being single for so long, I wanted to be in order because being in relationship with him, I want everything to be contractually good with him. And when I searched it to try to find dating, I never could find dating in the Bible. Most marriages were already arranged. They were arranged already. You knew who you was going to marry before you even got 12 years old. You were put in these relationships, and you made it work because of the covenant. Dating was not a part of it. We're like, okay, Joseph, come over here and date Mary, and then you guys let us know if you're compatible. No, God puts us together in union because of a calling.
Amen.
Not because of a liking.
Amen.
The drinking thing, I don't drink, so I can't even speak on it. Anything that's going to take me out of my peace with God and my conscious mind to make conscious decisions, I cannot have it a part of my life. Okay. A lot of people always use, well, the Bible says you can drink and don't get drunk. Well, that's an excuse. This is a new life in Christ. A new life in Christ means I have to be sober-minded, that I have to be alert, that I have to be conscious. Anything that takes me out of my consciousness, I don't need it in my life.
Amen. But let me add to this, Pastor. Let me add to this, Sister Albertine. The Bible does say a little wine for the stomach's sake is good, and wine is not a sin. If wine was a sin, then we could not commemorate. We could not commemorate communion, because we commemorate communion. Some people drink Welch's grape juice. But I'm from the old school, the apostolic church, and we get wine.
Wine. Yeah. I mean, and watch this, and Evangelist Bernard, why would Jesus could have turned the water into anything?
Yeah, he turned
it into wine. But why would he make
it
into wine? I mean,
he turned it into wine.
He turned it into wine, so it's significant, you know?
Yes. And it symbolized the death of Jesus Christ. So if you're going to be a drunkard, like Pastor Hamilton said, we have to be sober. Now, I'm not telling anybody to go out and buy them a fifth of wine. No, that's not what I'm saying. But there's nowhere in the scripture where they say that wine is a sin. Okay?
That's right.
No. Oh, but if you drink it and you consume alcohol as a way, as a depressant or something to take you out of your normal habitat where you rely on it to relieve some kind of stress in your life, then that's wrong. Okay?
Right.
But we're going to, if we go commemorate the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus, and we commemorate death, we have communion, and we have wine. We pick up the wine, and we discern that that is the blood of Jesus. And then we eat of his body, which we discern is with crackers or bread or whatever your church gives to you at that time. So that's my understanding of it.
It's a movie.
Amen. Thank you so much. That is just perfect.
Let me see if he's got something else that he can give her. Minister Democrat? Is it any other men on the line? And not that we're just looking to men. Mother Charity may can answer that, too. Mother's been saved a long time. She's from old school. So, Mother Charity, let's open up her line because we want to give Sister Albertine a reasonable answer.
Well, I haven't, you know, down through the years, I mean, like you said, you know, that it's not something, you know, that we could just actually call it actually direct sin, but they got scripture in there to back it up, to let you to know that wine is a mocker. The Lord calls it a strong drink, and then it'll tell you how it'll affect your mind if you linger at the wine bottle too long. It'll cause you to lose your ability to think straight and everything. Next thing you know, you feeling all giddy and whatnot, and then you can't really think, your mind and all. It impairs your thinking ability and all like that. So it's better to just stay away from it. You know, Well, the Bible was speaking about Timothy, the Lord told, he had back in that day, the waters and things they said was kind of polluting or whatever it was.
It was.
And it kind of bothered his stomach. Yeah, he had some kind of infirmity. So then when he was advised by Paul, he said, well, take a little wine for thy stomach's sake. Yeah, now he was talking just to him. Didn't go over everybody. He was just speaking to him personally.
That's right.
Because of his infirmity that he had in his stomach. That's all. Mm-hmm. Yeah, right. as a whole, you know, we just have to use common sense about that thing. So I wouldn't even bother with it, you know, because if you take a little, then here come the devil, you know. You say, oh, yeah, I feel a little better today. And next day you want some more. And then the next thing you be, you know, every day you be, you know, and then you that's how you get over into alcoholism. So, yes, right, So that's about the much as I could say about it, you know. My daughter said she want to talk. Deborah said she want to have something to say about that. Well, hold on just a minute.
Let Deborah say something.
All right.
Yeah, Sister Barbara.
Hi, Deborah. She said, Deborah, Sister Ruby, in our house, open Mother Charity line.
I thought she wanted her sister.
No, she said Mother. She said Deborah.
Deborah.
Her daughter.
Open. Uh-huh. Mother
so
Charity.
Open her line back.
Mother Charity.
Praise the Lord, everybody.
Praise
Hi,
Lord.
Deborah.
Hi. How are
Praise
you?
Lord. We're fine.
Are you
so good to hear you for the first time.
Yes, I've been enjoying the show. I just listened and let my mother comment.
All right.
But I wanted to also say about the wine, you also have to be careful because the Lord said don't let your good be evil spoken of. And a lot of times sinners associate us, you know, with not drinking such things, and we drink it in their presence when we're out or wherever. And some of them kind of frown on that because it's like, you know, if they're supposed to be representing Christianity, mm-hmm. they shouldn't be drinking wine, even though it might not
Come on
be
now.
A, per
That's
se.
True.
But sometimes yeah. you have to be careful how you portray yourself as a Christian in front of sinners. And that could be
yeah.
a stumbling block for someone to see you drinking if you're professing Christianity. And also, you know, if the Lord saved you from a life of drinking, or you might have had a drinking problem, and now you're saved, even though you might say, well, I'll take a little sip, it's really not a sin, as long as I don't get drunk or whatever, it's just a dinner wine. But then you find yourself
right.
being weak to that, and the enemy can tempt you to fall right back into that realm of drinking if you've had a problem with that in the past. So why
right.
even
Amen.
That route? You know, some things... like the Bible say, it might be lawful but not expedient.
Come
so
on,
it
now,
cannot be expedient for us as Christians.
And that's real.
To delve all
and, here, and family, it,
so,
family is pretty
and,
simple. If it,
let her finish, Pastor Hamilton, and we're going to come back to you.
Right. Sometimes it's not expedient, you know, for us to do certain things as Christians. And like the Lord say, sometimes we have to deny ourselves of certain things because of how it looks. It might not be sinful, but why do it at all if it's going to be a stumbling block for someone? So just steer clear of it. I mean, you don't have to do it. You don't need it. So, you know, some things we have to be wise. He that winneth souls is wise.
All
okay.
right.
That's all I had to say. Thank you.
Thank you, Deborah. Go Amen. Ahead, Pastor Hamilton.
You know, family, it goes back to the same thing. If there's a question or if it has to even be asked, get rid of it. If it's not pleasing unto God, we don't have. There's no question to be asked about the things that God is requiring of us. He's asking us to do different things different than we did before. We've lived so long, family, by these little bitty small inserts in the Bible that give a little leeway. When we know what God has called us to do, and that's being in order, that's being focused, that's being conscious, and relying on Him is everything we need. Now, just for me, I choose to eliminate anything that I got to use a little excuse for.
Right.
If there's something I can add in to give a little excuse, but there's no really no favor or grace involved in it, I have to remove it. Immediately, because I want God's grace in my life fully, not just partially.
Okay.
It's a personal decision. How far, how high you want to go? You know, do you want all that God has for you? Are you just willing to continue to settle for just enough?
Okay.
Woo, hallelujah.
All right, all right. If we have any more callers on the line, and then we're going to go back to Pastor Hamilton for the final comment. Anybody else, Sister Ruby?
Sister Dawn?
I hope we answered you, Sister Albertine. Is her line still open? Sister Ruby?
Yes, you did. That was perfect and right on time. Thank you, guys. I really appreciate it. That was perfect. It was definitely answered. Thank you so much.
Amen.
All right, and even
Amen.
I want to say, too, with the dating thing, again, we know marriages was arranged and the Old Testament and what have you, but it would be foolish of us to think that we can just go tell a woman, she's my wife. The Lord said, she's my wife, and we never take out any time to communicate with that person. That's just not using common sense. God gave
Amen.
Us common sense. So since he gave us common sense, then that tells us Pastor Hamilton could not have just told Pastor Miracle, and I'm using him because they are about to get married, so I'm using them as examples. It's no way that he can begin to understand or know anything about Pastor Miracle if he don't communicate with her, if he don't
That's
take
right.
time
That's
to
right.
Go out and eat with them two, just them two, no children, nobody else, no congregation, no members, to talk about some commonality. What do we have in common? If you don't
exactly.
know those things, how can you say that God told you this is your wife? And you never get take no time to get to know this person. That is ludicrous.
Or never
okay?
meet them.
Or never
That's
meet
right.
them.
That's
Even if you got to go bring them to McDonald's, you want to have some kind of one-on-one. Come on now. Please.
That's
we
right.
Make
That's
everything,
right.
We make everything simple. Everything is
Amen.
Not a sin. Somebody say, you tell me so much about what I can't do in Christ Jesus, what I can't do being saved. Could you please elaborate on what I can do?
Right.
Okay? Come on now. All right, Sister
Come
Ruby.
On.
Hey, I'm done.
Amen.
Sister Dawn?
She's not answering, so let's
okay,
move
I'm
on, Sister Ruby.
Amen. Okay, well, family, I do want to say this in confirmation with Evangelist Bernard. We did not talk about this message earlier. We never have conversations other than subjects and stuff that God has led her. And most of the time, she allows me to do provoke underneath the principles. But when God speaks to me, I'm willing to do whatever the instructions are. But we never
mm-hmm.
talk about anything other than the love of God and how we can get better at him. Bottom line.
That's it.
Secondly, now I want to be clear about this because when I said I couldn't find dating in the Bible, I meant it from a standpoint of movies and the things that will give me the temptations of other things. But we dated
right.
in the Word. We dated in the Word 24/7 for 7 days straight. And we talked
right.
the Word. We went out and had brunch, but the Word was there. We never got connected to even get close enough to hold hands. So I don't call that dating. We fellowshipped. And I heard God, so I knew that it now took me to now invest into the Word that he had spoken to me. So there's a different way about going about this. You got to get to know each other. Please get to know each other. But get to know each other through God first. And then
right.
you'll find the common ground. God, see,
okay.
when God is the common ground in the relationship, oneness is easy to accomplish.
Amen.
Yes.
But if you're coming in you and he coming in him or her, now you're dealing with y'all. And that's a lot of stuff to deal with. But when you're dealing with
Come
God first, and God is the source of that relationship, and he is the one that's feeding it, nothing
All
can
right,
come of it other than
Jesus
the love
today.
Of God.
Pastor Hamilton,
right.
I have to say something. Can you hear
Go
me?
Ahead.
This is Albertine
yes.
again. Okay, this may sound a little strange, but I had a similar situation. I'm not going to say any names. But when I wanted to go down and meet that person, it was always weird. No, you can't come. I just praise God. I so admire you and Pastor Miracle's relationship because it's actually teaching me and grooming me and growing me as to what to look out for, what to know when God does send me my Boaz.
Here, let me share this with you. And
I know he's coming.
This is a free one for it. He ain't gonna send you a lot. You might meet him a long distance, but if God told him that you're for him, that man coming to get you.
Amen.
You ain't gonna have to go get him. That man gonna come get you, and he gonna prove to you that God has called him.
But not making excuses. And not
no excuses.
No. Praise the Lord.
No excuses. He gonna come right. Amen.
All right. Ooh, praise the Lord. We're gonna have a week of. A week of some discussion on this dating and all of this stuff. This is good today.
We have
Minister Liberal Democrat had a comment also. So, Sister Ruby, if you could go back to him again. Is that everybody, Sister Ruby, before we go back to Minister Liberal Democrat?
Yeah, his line is open, Minister Democrat.
Okay,
all
is there
right,
anybody
amen.
Else on the line before he come on that Evan been acknowledged?
Everybody else has been called evangelist. Minister Democrat?
All right, well,
amen.
I'm just asking, Sister Ruby.
All right. Amen.
Go
can
ahead.
You guys hear me?
Yes.
Amen. I was going to talk about the dating situation. The scripture I usually use, Proverbs 3:6, where it says, "In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path."
Direct
now,
thy path.
Now, when we were talking about the dating situation, you know, there's a difference between dating and fellowshipping because, like, after church or after something, a lot of saints get together and they go different places and stuff like that, and they build with one another and stuff like that, and that's not a date, that's fellowshipping. So I think sometimes we gotta, you know, sometimes the saints forget to have fun, and we fellowshipping with one another and stuff like that, and then. You know, I believe, like, you know, dating in a situation like that, you say, in all thy ways, if we acknowledging God, he's going to direct you how to date and stuff like that. He's going to direct you how, like, in other words, somebody, you might not be looking for a wife, but you might just, maybe want to fellowship with some of the saints and whatnot. And there's a rule of conduct in the Bible. It teaches us, like, the do's and the don'ts when it comes to the fornication situation. But when it comes to fellowship, we got to remember, amen to God, it's all right to have fun and whatnot. And we need to be out where people can see us having fun so we can the people want to be saved and whatnot. Because, you know, you don't want people to believe that you once you get saved, you're bound because he said, well, the Spirit of God is his liberty. And whatnot.
Yeah.
So we don't want to be bound in front of and all unhappy in front of people. So I would just use that scripture, like, you know, I don't know if the word's dating the right word, but, you know, and stuff like that. But, you know, if you want to talk to a sister or whatever and whatever, or she want to talk to a brother, I don't think there's anything wrong with them making their intentions known, let's go out and get something to eat and stuff like that, as long as they acknowledging God in it and letting him direct that date. And stuff like that. Now, when the flesh gets in there, that's when trouble comes in there. But as long as, you know, everybody have the right motives, I don't see a problem, you know, between fellowship and, you know, and stuff like that. You know, because, you know, the Bible says how good and how blessed it is. I think it's 133 in Psalms for us to dwell together in unity and whatnot. We should be on one accord, believing the same thing. Like, he's not going to try to take advantage of you. You're not going to try to take advantage of him. And whatnot,
right.
Because we on the same thing. But when you get in God's permissive will, that's when it's getting trouble. When you purposely go and unequally yoke yourself, that's when you get in trouble. So that's the only thing I would add to the conversation about Amy's. How can two walk together except they agree? So if you're talking about dating or fellowshipping, I think it should at least be with a like believer and stuff like that. At least let that person be of the same persuasion in God as you are, or you ask him for trouble and you're going to get in his permissive will. So I would just say consider that, you know, when you talk about fellowshipping, amen, how can two walk together except they agree? Amen. That's my two cents. Amen.
Amen, amen. Well, I tell you, we have had a wonderful time on the line today, so I thank God for each and every one of you all. Sister Ruby, we're going to go to her for her comments, and then we're going to have the final remarks from Pastor Hamilton. Again, those of you that's in the northern and southern area, if you're going to Girls Night in the Word in Oakland, California, we'd love to see you there. The address is 2333 Harrison Street, and that's Oakland, California, 94612 is the zip. So we will be going. So we ask, are we soliciting your prayers? I know it's a little, it's raining here in Northern California. Amen. So just pray for us as we travel to go and fellowship tonight. Amen. So Sister Ruby, we get remarks from you and then Pastor Hamilton. Hello?
I'm right here.
Talking to me.
God bless everybody. We love you all.
Okay,
we appreciate you all.
For Sister Ruby for her remarks, and then we'll close us out with a word of prayer.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Pastor Hamilton, you always come on every week, and you provoke us. You took chapter 19, and you said what Jesus done. Disciples. I thought it was chapter 19. Didn't you
do
chapter
18?
Yeah, chapter 19.
Okay. Wasn't your chapter 19, Pastor?
Yeah, chapter 19.
Chapter 19, okay. My bad.
Hey, we ain't perfect. We all do it.
Chapter 19, I'm scheduling these things, so sometimes I put the wrong chapter up there. All right, Sister Ruby.
Pastor Hamilton, it was just a blessing that the Lord took you to that from the heaven above down here to his people on the earth. And it was just so how he blessed the disciples. But he also watch our hedges. Watch what we believe and say. We got to know what people are saying and believing before we jump up and run somewhere to fellowship. You know, if you can't get an answer, then you don't need to go. You know, if it's not of the same faith. So I just thank the Lord for him bringing that out today. You know, all the different areas. What we have to do, if the environment, your friends are not right, remove them. You know, pray for them and go on. But if you want to be in that crowd, then eventually they're going to turn you in to be, like natural. So I just thank
you. That's right.
Many nuggets that came out of chapter 19. So God bless you, Pastor Hamilton. You've just been a blessing to the body of Christ, and we love you and your fiance, Pastor Miracle, and God bless you. Back over to you.
God bless you, too.
Amen, amen. Well, we definitely want to know, too, the two scriptures that I stand on in support. To win friends, to gain friends, you have to show yourself friendly. And to win souls, you must be wise. I don't need to know the whole history of everybody that come on this line. But I know one thing. If they're teaching and preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ from Genesis to Revelation, I have no offense with them. I take no offense with them. So I open this platform for any and everybody that is willing to teach and preach the gospel. You can be Baptist. You can be Buddhist. If God get, you can even be an atheist. God can change the atheist into a Christian. God can change atheist into one that will believe in his word and that will get baptized into his body. So I don't discriminate. I don't have respect to persons. And guess what? I don't need to know how you've been baptized. Amen. I do need to know if you're living holy. The Bible says, be ye holy, for the Lord thy God is holy. Holiness without no man shall see the Lord. Amen. So we got to get out of this thing, too, where we have respect to persons. Respect to persons is sin. It's sin. So you don't know what soul God got out there for you to witness to. But if you're so holier than thou and nobody is saved but you, then I take offense with that because guess what? God said, I have 7,000 that ain't even bow to Baal. Some of us are bowing to Baal. Some of us are praying to Baal. Amen. But then we take part with our brother. The Bible said also in Psalms 133, I believe, it says, oh, how sweet and how pleasant it is for brethren
brethren to dwell together in unity.
No,
that we all, if you've been baptized in his name, if you have been filled with the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, you are in the body. And I'll say that anywhere I go. You are in the body. So guess what? Your address is not my address, and I may not wear the same size shoes or clothing you wear. Amen. But I know this Bible told me to be holy, and that's what I have to do. I have to live holy if I'm inside. I have to live holy when I'm in my car. I have to live holy when I'm in the body, in the sanctuary. I have to live holy. Our lives have to demonstrate Jesus. Jesus was able to meet and fellowship with all people. Amen. He said, I came that you have, that you might have life and have that more abundantly. And he also said, I didn't come for those that are well and those that are whole. He said, I come for those that are sick. I come for those that are lost. I came for the lost sheep. There's some lost sheep out here that we need to be reclaiming for Jesus. We need to be reclaiming for the kingdom of God. How are we going to go to them? How are we going to get to them? Amen. So I just bless the Lord for what he has put in me. And I know one thing, nobody's going to convert me. I've already been founded on the foundation. My foundation is solid. So the Bible says, if another man come and build up on this foundation, let him be accursed.
Yep.
Amen. So if somebody comes to take me off my foundation, then guess what? My Bible says, let him be accursed. You know what foundation that you own. You don't have to argue with nobody. You don't have to prove no points to nobody. Just be who you say God called you to be. Let your fruit, like Pastor Hamilton said, let your fruit remain. Your fruit ought to bear witness of what you're living. God bless you, Pastor Hamilton.
Amen, family. You are loved and appreciated. Wow, today was awesome. I am excited on the word that went forth. I'm excited about the topics that came up. That lets us know that we need each other. This is proof that we can support each other. We can ask questions without any kind of condemnation. That is awesome. That is the love of God. I'm so excited for this fellowship that we can lead this conversation and this radio broadcast today in peace and love.
Thanks.
Without any confusion, without any attitude, but with love. That's God. He's
with
moving,
love.
Family. We're getting closer.
Hallelujah.
We're getting closer.
We're
closing in space. We're getting in order, and we're getting in position for God to do a mighty work. Get ready. It's coming.
Thank you.
We bless the Lord for you, and just be blessed. We love you and appreciate you, and we'll talk to you. We'll be on next Tuesday and Wednesday, me and Pastor Miracle. So catch us then, and know
all
that you're
right.
Loved.
Amen. Amen. Close us out with a prayer.
See. Heavenly Father God, in the name of Jesus, Lord, I thank you today, Lord. I thank you for your word that has went forth, Heavenly Father God. I thank you for the lives that have been changed, Lord, and I thank you that your spirit has been abound. Lord, we thank you today. We love you today, and we worship you, Lord, and ask you to just keep us in an atmosphere of praise and of worship with you as we go into our weekend, as we go into our fellowship Sunday. But, Lord, give us the encouragement to come looking for you in fellowship.
Glory.
We thank you and praise you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen.
Let's go.
Amen. So
let's go.
Groovy.
Let's go.
Amen. Well, God bless you all. Have a beautiful weekend. We close out with a song.
Alone in a world, it's just me and you. I feel so lost, 'cause I don't know what to do. Now what if I choose the wrong thing to do? I'm so afraid, afraid of disappointing you. So I need to talk to you and ask you for your guidance.
My Heart by Yolanda Adams. God bless. Have a blessed weekend.